Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Bears. Our segment with Mark Grody, our Bears segment with Mark Grody, is being brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. Hey, Groats.
What's going on, Lawrence and Spiegs? The Bears had a full Wednesday practice today, unlike last week where they had the walkthrough practice and Tyreek Stevenson apparently left the practice and then returned to the practice. And they were a little light on a bunch of key guys out on the field today. The following guys did not practice, starting with both of your tackles, Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. Both missed practice today with knee injuries. Karan Amagaji is still out with a calf injury. Bad news for Big Bill. Andrew Billings did not practice today, and we are not going to see him playing for a while. He's got a pec injury. Matt Eberflus said he was going to miss a bunch of games, and then those of us out here on the beat were told that he is headed for injured reserve. I don't know if they've made that official yet with you guys, but that is the word that we are getting out here at Hallis Hall. Of course, Andrew Billings, so important for run-stuffing purposes, and we know the Bears have struggled in that regard. Jalen Jones missed the practice, and guys, again, Jaquan Brisker missed the practice, and we were told that he ain't playing again this Sunday. So Brisker out again. Let me give you the guys that did practice today and on a limited basis. Montez Sweat was back in practice. We know how important that is. He's got the shin injury. Kyler Gordon practiced in a limited capacity. Hamstring. Smitty was out there. That'd be Terrell Smith, the cornerback. He had an ankle injury. He was practicing limited. Tevin Jenkins, Ryan Bates, Daryl Taylor, and Noah Sewell all back in practice on a limited basis.
My goodness.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, there's a ton going on. Lawrence, I'm inclined to ask about who's going to play tackle this week. I mean, if Darnell Wright ends up being a no, we're looking at Matt Pryor going back outside. So you got Larry Borum and Matt Pryor as your tackles, and then Nate Davis at one of the guards along with Tevin.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Larry Borum. Maybe Jake Curran is out there. I hesitate to think about Matt Pryor being put to the back to the outside, because the last time he was a tackle in this league, it did not work out well. So I don't know if that is putting a player in a position to succeed, but it's all on the table at this point for the Bears because of the injuries. The hope is, and you know, Matt Eberflus just going on the way he sounded. He sounded relatively optimistic about Braxton Jones. I also know, you know, Darnell Wright throughout his very short career has popped up on the injury report a decent amount of the time and has ended up playing. So I can give you that if you want to look at it from an optimistic side, but they really need at least one of those tackles to be playing in this game against New England. So as bad as the Patriots are at 2-7, and that's not a good football team right now, you definitely need one of those guys. So I'm going to go under the hope and assumption that one of those two tackles will play for the Bears, but we're going to have to wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the big day. That's when the, you know, the real texture will come. If those guys are not practicing tomorrow, then look out.
May I make a request, Groats, of you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know that. You know,
when you get the opportunity to talk with Shane Waldron, I am interested in how he feels about so many free rushers getting through. Because if you looked at the game, there's, and I was telling Speaks about this yesterday, there was one play where as the play's going on, one of the sacks, Caleb points and he's like, guys,
that guy's
not blocked. Mm. And it's not like they're overloading. It's not like they're sending seven. They're sending five and a guy's not blocked. So would you please ask him about how so many free runners have been able to get to the Bears quarterback?
Lawrence, you know that I like to take requests. I took requests when I was on the House of L and doing some impersonations for you at one point.
You took requests at the prom that I saw your band play at. You guys did Boys Don't Cry by The Cure. You killed it. It was great.
Yes, we did. Yeah, man. Somebody's been reading Wikipedia. That's good for you to come up with that.
Prom with at your age.
Why were you at a prom? It was back then, okay? It was in high school. Grody was playing it. He killed it. Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, Lawrence, I have just found out in the last hour, I will be hosting the Mully and Haw show tomorrow with Ruthie Polinsky, so I will not be out here. But guess what? Chris Emma,
my guy,
and your colleague, your guy, he who also appears on the House of L frequently, from what I've been told.
Well, not just that. I ran into Emma's dad here in Scottsdale.
Was he just as happy of a gentleman as Chris is? Because I saw the picture, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's an Emma right there.
He's so sweet. He's a very nice man, and I enjoyed meeting him very much.
The Emmas are sweet people. It's the first time I've seen Chris's dad, and I wouldn't have it any other way. They're happy people. So Emma will get the question out for sure.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think I am on target to be out here tomorrow.
No, you should sleep.
Yeah, you should definitely sleep in.
Well, I was like, if I knew I was going to sleep properly tonight, I would do both. But I know that being that's a one-off and I'm not in shape, so to speak, for getting up early, I will not sleep tonight. So I know that I'm going to need to take a nap tomorrow. But that's neither here nor there.
What do we need to hear from Bears practice and media today?
Yeah, let's start with Caleb Williams. And one of the big deals that has been occurring over the last couple of weeks is the on-field chemistry between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. It has been poor lately. The last two games, both losses, 6 catches for 40 yards combined. Here's Caleb Williams on what he thinks is going on.
Yeah, obviously it's not in a place from the past games. A place where we would like it. Both of us, it's frustrating because you got a guy so special, and not being able to connect and hit on certain passes is frustrating for myself. And I know it's frustrating for him because as a wide receiver especially, you only get but so many chances, so many times the ball comes your way in a game and things like that. So I wouldn't put it past him that it's frustrating, you know, but we got to figure it out.
Specifically with the one instance the other day where you threw back shoulder and he was still running vertical, what did you guys iron out in terms of what you saw versus what he saw on that play?
I think it comes down to just talking and communicating more. We talk all the time. We laugh and joke all the time and things like that. But I think talking a little bit more about and communicating a little bit more about, you know, specifics of you know, ways I see it, ways he see it, ways he's seen it, and then you know, keep going from there.
Are we going to do it the Caleb way?
I thought that we had decided that we were doing it the Caleb way.
Yeah, it sounds like Caleb still wants to make sure that DJ does it the Caleb way.
Yeah, I mean, they're communicating, but are they agreeing? You know, that's the big thing. You've got one guy who's obviously DJ Moore is a veteran in this league at this point, who has been very successful doing it his way, and Caleb Williams, obviously an extremely successful quarterback coming into this league. Yeah, so there are things that need to be worked out. Let me play DJ Moore here for you guys, because it'll be interesting to hear his answer put up against Caleb Williams's. So this is DJ Moore on what he thinks that they can do to make it better, like details, route concepts, etc.
I mean, just knowing who we're going against, the one-on-one matchups that we might have throughout the game, and then understanding on the back end the reads and where we at in situations where he's going through the read and how fast I got to be or how slow I got to be to stay in his vision, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the little details I can think of.
Is there any reason why your connection with Justin was like immediate? As soon as you walk on the field and here it's a little bit arduous.
I couldn't tell you. I mean, just reps. You can say Justin had more reps than when I got here than me and Caleb have. Just him being a rookie quarterback, and Justin wasn't a rookie quarterback last year.
Has there ever like healthy disagreements between Caleb and you and maybe Keenan, like the veteran guys on the team, on how things should be done on an individual play, like him coming from where he is and you guys being veteran players? Is there ever that sort of debate that goes on with you guys?
Yeah, you got a little bit of that, you know, but he might see things differently than we do, which – I mean, everybody does, and we just got to find a happy medium on what routes we want at certain depths and stuff like that, and that's what we're still trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some stuff there. I just think it's also colored with the fact that we know DJ hates the offense that they're running. He hates his role in what he's doing. Well, I guess I'm just the decoy, and like, well, we got to get people doing different things. So it's, I don't know. Lawrence, do you hear problematic stuff between DJ and Caleb?
I don't think that there is a problem between the two guys. I do think that it's the difference between someone or two guys, in the case of, since we're throwing Keenan Allen in there too, guys that have seen the league and that they're maybe looking at it differently than what Caleb is, where these guys have books on the DBs that are covering them, and Caleb is still putting all of that stuff together. So I think that that's kind of where this is, where those guys don't want to say, dumb rookie, we know what we're seeing out there. You're not going to find two guys that are better at adjustments inside of games and scouting. Like, these guys are absolute professionals, and I think they're being very sensitive to the process of bringing the quarterback along and allowing him to build his own book. You know what it's like, Spiegs? It's like in baseball, where you have a guy that's doing really well at the plate, and then he struggles once he's made it around the league once.
Uh-huh.
And I think some of that is going on with Caleb. And these guys are like, no, this is what you should be seeing. We know what you think you're seeing, but this is the way that we perceive it because of our history and knowing this league. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And they don't want to badmouth him.
Yeah, they don't want to bust toss him.
Yeah, it's also like, you know, Caleb's trying to be an anticipatory passer, and DJ working with Fields, who was more of a wait and see it kind of guy, and then throw it. And who knows about the guys that he had down in Carolina? It's like there's some of that going on possibly as well.
No, we know about the guys he had down in Carolina.
Not good, except for Darnold, that Midwesterner, Sam Darnold, except for that guy.
I think the other part of this too is, and I got to remind myself of this just about every day, that Caleb Williams is still a developing quarterback. You know, this is a guy who is still trying to figure it out. See, he is getting different looks every single week, and maybe if there's people listening right now who are like, "Hey, man, he's the generational guy. This guy we've been talking about for 2 years, he should have it." But I get that. I do understand that. But that is the part, and I think throughout this whole team, there is this clash, I suppose, or this panic between winning and developing. This is a team that is built to win now.
Yes.
There are players that want to win right away. But all the while, you do have a quarterback who is still developing right now.
Good stuff. Give us some more Caleb, Groats.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, and we've all been seeing it over the last 2 weeks, let's face it, Caleb Williams has been missing guys that have been open with inaccuracy at times, and I asked Caleb Williams about that today.
To what do you attribute, if you agree, that there's been some inaccuracy in the last couple of weeks with your game?
Yeah, you're asking what attributes to that?
Yeah, why have you been inaccurate?
I think partly is been the same page, and being able to find ways before, after practice, during practice, to be able to talk over a little bit more, to be able to get those routes ran in practice, to be able to first different coverages and things like that, shells and one highs and cover twos and cover fours and things like that, and how they'll run it. And most likely running and you know, the way there's ways that the wide receivers are going to attack the defense. And then I think from there that would help. And then you know, some throws, just giving my guys a chance, like the one to DJ down the sideline that I missed slightly out of bounds. Tried to throw him a perfect ball. Instead, you know, give your six year guy a shot at making a catch.
So there's that.
Caleb is kind of copping to what we were just talking about.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. 7 year, 6 year guy. Give them a chance. So do it their way a little bit. Whereas DJ was saying, do it the Caleb way back then. Yeah, they should have these ideas ironed out.
Finding a happy medium. I think that is not a quote that we should overlook. They haven't found it yet. They have not found the happy medium. That doesn't mean that they can't be productive, but they simply haven't found it. All right, let's get to, because I know you guys were just talking about it before I came on here, let's get to DJ Moore and the play. It was early in the game, early in the first quarter, where Caleb Williams was in trouble, running to the sideline, looking for guys open downfield. One of the guys that was near the sideline was DJ Moore. He then walked on to the bench. It appears that he walked over there gingerly, but everybody wanting to know why DJ Moore left the field. Did he quit on the play? Here's DJ Moore explaining what happened there.
Tweaked ankle. I was coming back to, because I seen Caleb scrambling, and my ankle went in and out. I was already couldn't stop, so my momentum took me out of bounds, and then I just walked off. Which, the noise, I hear it, seeing it, really didn't care. So, it is what it is.
Do you understand why people saw that as a bad look?
I mean, they could take it how they want to. They wish they did, and without even knowing what happened mid-play. So, I mean, can't stop y'all from doing what y'all want to do.
So you were hurting?
Yeah, the initial roll of the ankle was, hurting bad. So that's why I, hobbled off and sat down. And then I came back in and was kind of like, how you say it? I don't know. Reindeering? I don't know. Whatever it's called, however you do it, just down the middle of the field. But, I mean, I didn't stop playing the game. Like, I didn't not go back in the game. That's what it was.
How much did that impact you?
Did you fight through the injury, or did it just clear up right at the end?
No, I didn't clear up right away. I was doing a bunch of stuff on the sideline to keep me going throughout the game. So that's what kept me going.
So reindeering, I don't know exactly what that is, but I think he's saying like
galloping.
Galloping and make it look like you're okay, even if you're not quite okay. That kind of thing.
I thought he was flying. I thought that's what he meant. Like he was flying, there was Santa Claus was there and whatnot.
But the whole first half saying it was an injury. You guys do what you want. Like, you know, blaming the media and the noise. He has seen the noise, uh-huh. But he's not really fighting back against it necessarily.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was just gonna say, like, just being in front of him, he wasn't angry. Like he was. I mean, he said what he said, and you guys heard it in the tone. And I think it's pretty easy to pick up his tone right there. He wasn't happy, but he didn't come in angry, and he definitely came in ready for that to be the first question, which it justifiably was.
Hmm. Just put it in the file, Speaks.
As another data point for the last segment of teammateship.
Yeah, just put it in there.
Yeah, all right.
Something to keep a watch on. What else, Groats?
Load it
up. You guys
up
ready for
the
file. You ready for the Flus? Let's hear from the Flus.
Hell
time
yeah.
For the Flus. Because of Spiegel, I put he got demoted in the Bears report all the
you.
Way to the fifth cut.
You
and
know,
there's only one Matt Eberflus.
Hey, I'm sorry. I blew up at you the other day, and it wasn't about you. It was about the Flus and about my feelings overall. It's a hard time out here for optimists. Okay,
this one probably will not help to reclaim Matt Eberflus. What I'm about to play for you guys, but gentlemen. There was another meeting on Monday, and there have been some accounts that, again, this was a spirited meeting with coaches and the players, but Matt Eberflus saying, no biggie.
In our team meetings, you know, we have one pretty much every day, right? We have one Monday. We don't have one on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We have them Friday. We have them. You know, we have a team meeting to outline the day, outline what we're getting accomplished that day, what the focus is for that particular day, And to me, that was just like any after-action report when we win or lose a game. So it's various things, but our team meetings are productive.
When you opened the floor on Monday, what was the vibe?
It's always good. It's always good. Our guys are all in. They're always all together, and they're pulling on the same rope, and that's what they've always done.
TJ Edwards said that he felt like you guys needed that meeting, that you weren't sugarcoating things, and that do you agree with that? Do you feel like it was a productive and conducive atmosphere?
Yeah, I think it was a Monday meeting like we always have.
Okay, so
sure.
And that was it. By the way, I did not edit that at the end. That was it. Like Emma asked that question, and Matt was a little bit like, "That's enough. That's it." And,
yeah. And just a Monday meeting like we always have.
Yep.
And
yep.
Although it got out. But it's fine.
Well, it got out because TJ talks. But TJ wanted it out, you know? Yeah. And if TJ's a guy who thinks that, you know, I mean, it's interesting that TJ is the one who put that out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's a nine Bears player, too, Speaks. Let's be honest, being from here. Speaking of a 10 Bears player, let's
Doug Kramer?
No, we got Cole Kmet, who is, if he had touched the football this past week, he might be teetering closer to 10 Bears, but he's been very quiet.
If he'd even been targeted.
That's true. I mean, he was open too, man. Like, and to that end, Cole Kmet continues to be a professional about that, and basically his stock answer is, of course, yes, he'd like the ball more, but the bigger thing for him is he is staying ready and alert on every play, because sometimes the tendency for players, if you are not getting touches, is to get a little sleepy out there. So Kmet is reminding himself, I think, through the media, that he is always staying alert. But followed up with him on the locker room and everything that is going on in there, and some of the things that that I get asked and that other reporters get asked as well. Here's Cole Kmet.
We also get asked a lot as reporters, like, is there a strain in the locker room? Is there division at all between players, coaches, things like that? How do you answer that question on how this locker room is with the coaches and with everybody?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think we're really transparent with one another, which I think is a healthy and good thing. Look, I mean, I'm not going to get around that. We're all very emotional about this game. And, you know, I think, you know, the previous week after Washington, that kind of showed itself. But no, I don't feel like any sort of strain. I think it's we have a good partnership here with the coaches. And I do think there's good transparency between the two groups. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all about winning.
Is this as outspoken, though, as it's ever been since you have been with the Bears?
I felt like last week was a little bit loud, for sure. I've seen a lot of crazy weeks here, I will say. So I don't know if I can say it was the craziest, but it was up there for sure. So I think we definitely, as players, could have handled it a little bit better.
Cole, give us your top five of crazy.
There's more than five, I gotta say that. Okay.
That is awesome and hilarious. Yikes. Context on that dude's
more
career.
Than five.
Well, yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah, so do I, man. Like, he gets it. You know, he totally gets it. And he's, but he's also admitting there, like, yeah, we could have handled it a little better. It was a lot, man. It was a lot last week. And we enjoyed it, but it also was like, whoo, that's a lot. And then they didn't respond well. So they'll go the other way, and it's sensible to try and go the other way, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's they kind of came at the coach from every possible angle.
They did.
Last week.
They told us how they feel.
Yeah. And like, I don't think we're getting all the information on that, on what may have been said or talked about on Monday. And that's probably because, you know, Matt Eberflus probably said, let's quell it just a little bit. But we know how emotional this year has been. And again, it's probably a good thing because this team is expected to win. These players expected to win, and there's a lot of really good players in that locker room. My final cut here is from TJ Edwards. Somebody has to answer for the poor run defense. And, you know, kind of slowly but surely throughout this year, the run defense simply has not been as good as it was last year with a lot of the same players on the roster. Of course, it came to a head this past week in Arizona with those guys rushing for over 200 yards. So why, TJ Edwards, why?
I mean, we're getting out-executed, you know, plain and simple. That's, you know, myself included, that's everybody. We have to do a better job as a unit to stop this run so that we can get quarterbacks to third down and make them beat us. And I truly believe our back seven is one of the best in the league, and we get them to favorable positions that will win. So we got to do a good job on first and second down to get into those.
Yeah, the back seven's good. Just they got a lot of problems up front, and even more now with Big Bill hurt. I'm scared of that, man. I'm scared of that.
You should be, because their run defense wasn't really...
They got demolished, man. They got demolished by every Arizona running back, and Kyler didn't even do much. So,
yep. So it could be an issue. Nuggets and tidbits?
Yeah. Speaking of the defensive line, I did have a quick chat with Jervon Dexter in the locker room today about his leverage penalty against Arizona, and he says that he only had one hand on the offensive lineman's back, and that the rule is that you can't have two hands on there. So in the nicest possible way, Jervon Dexter was pushing back a little bit on that particular play, as did Matt Eberflus. And finally, one more thing from Cole Kmet, and this probably will give him 10 bears. You know what? He gets 10 bears for this quote. He says, quote, "Bears fans don't need to be patient. They can be as PO'd as they want to be. That's their every right as a fan."
I think fans enjoy availing themselves of that right.
Yes.
I'm glad that he listened to a couple segments back.
Apparently he did.
And I mean, historically speaking, fans have really always enjoyed the right to be angry. And it's, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the world, and sometimes sports is where you go to really let it out, man.
Well, guys, I mean, like, I was listening to my podcast partner, Dan Weeder, earlier today on The Score, and he said, man, Weedsy, like, if the Bears offense, like, it goes three and out at Soldier Field on their first drive, you will hear boos.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Buckle up, Buttercup, which rhymes with Bears.
It does. Groats.
Beautiful.
You're
man.
A wonderful man.
He really is.
Mark Grody will be with Ruthie Polinsky tomorrow on the Mully and Haw show.
Yes.
It's our Ruthie Polinsky. Oh. That's right. Thanks, Groats.
Ruthie's great.
We got good fun for you later on when one of the great poets of our time is has waited.
The Bard himself,
yes, sir,
has decided to be there. But we're putting together a folder on Spiegel and Holmes. Like, we're going to try to figure out best practices when it comes to quarterback development. I got something else to put into the folder. We will do that next on The Score.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Court.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on the Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
You should be listening to this show because we try to have interesting conversations with each other, try to have interesting conversations with you, try to make ourselves smarter in the things that we talk about. My working thesis, and I shared it, I shared my work with Speaks yesterday on this, is no one knows how to develop a quarterback, and everyone's just kind of doing what they can.
Yeah, you did share it. I felt the weight of the research. I felt the years of knowledge acquisition, and it was articulated beautifully. And you came in today saying that there was new info, there was new data to add to our growing folder on quarterback development and the conundrum that it is.
I like listening to this stuff because it really does give you some perspective. Now, look, this one, it's Tom Brady, okay? And it's Tom Brady talking with Colin Cowherd, which I think is going to be his only appearance with Colin Cowherd, which is weird because he works for Fox, whatever. But Tom Brady had some thoughts on what development should look like for young quarterbacks. Check out what he said.
It was always my job to say, well, I know what my play is. Now I look at the defense. Okay, I think I know what they're in. Does what I have call, is it going to work? And that was my judgment. And they would have to live and die with my judgment, the entire team. Now I developed the trust within the team, my teammates and organization, to say, we trust you to have that final swipe at that pencil. Let's say there's a safety blitzing off the right side, and I got to run right at the right side. And I know that nobody can block him. I'm not going to snap the ball and run it into the strong safety blitzing and tackle our running back 4 yards in the backfield. I'd say, okay, if the strong safety's coming on the right and we got to play to the right, what do you want me to do? You want me to run to the left? You want me to check to a pass? Those are the options. That's how I would think about the game. I would hope that I would have never snapped the ball into a bad defense. Now, did I? Of course I did, because sometimes the defenses wanted to disguise a lot of things. When I played Buffalo, they wouldn't move until after the ball was snapped. So if the safety was coming down on the left or on the right, they were going to do it after the snap all the time. And they would just play in this little shell defense, ball be snapped, and here they go, they rotate. Because every defense has strengths and weaknesses to it. My job as a quarterback was always to delineate where the strengths and weaknesses were. And was the play that I had called, was it able to take advantage of the weaknesses of the defense? And if it couldn't, then I was supposed to get to a play that would.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. Because like especially when you watched him in Tampa Bay, where he was in full space command of everything as Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles just kind of handed the keys to him. He clearly was going up to the line and then deciding what to do and eating defenses alive at every single play.
Now the problem is, and this is the same problem with Jordan, where that's all well and good, but you're you. Like, will it work for someone else? Tom's rebuttal to that is, look at where I was drafted. I was drafted behind Matt Bowen. And look at what I ended up doing with my career. So if it can work for me, it can work for anybody. Mm-hmm. But that level of, like, that is reps, man. That is reps. That is film study. That is also autonomy. That what he's talking about there of, we're in a bad play. I'm going to get us into a better play. How many young quarterbacks will recognize that? How many young quarterbacks will be given the opportunity to get there? Because I'm sure a lot of these young guys are like, at this point, I'm just trying to keep my head above water.
Yeah, well, you know, we have celebrated the fact that Caleb was being given those opportunities early, and he was doing well with those opportunities. But as the struggles have come on, I've started to look at and wonder whether it's too much to ask the rookie quarterback to have that kind of control and make those kind of decisions, because it seems like he's going up there every time. And if they're handing the keys to him a little too much, well, that's interesting. I wonder if they got as drunk on Caleb's possibilities as some of us did.
I think that it's, when you see the stuff that he did in college, all that stuff that Brady's talking about, in the version of offense that he was running with Lincoln Riley, Caleb did all of that stuff. Now, there was also him just kind of being better than everybody, too, where he now, I think that he's learning very slowly, but I think he's learning, oh, some of that stuff that I was doing against Oregon State, I can't do that, even against a team like Jacksonville.
All right, so to be honest, like, that Brady stuff right there doesn't sound as much to me about quarterback development as it's about quarterback mastery, like the stuff that Stafford's able to do now with McVay, and the stuff that we're talking about Brady being able to do once he was a fully made guy. Is part of your thought process that Caleb was being asked to do masters-level stuff from the get-go?
Part of my issue with Caleb is that I'm not sure that they... Because the texter was like, well, it seems like you're taking the pressure off of Waldron and putting it on Caleb. No, I think it's the offensive coordinator's job to make the quarterback's job easier.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Shane Waldron, with some of the concepts that he runs, has done that.
And guess what? That's exactly where we started the show, with Stacey Dales saying exactly that, saying that, you know, your job is to find out what the quarterback can do, what he can't do, and then dovetail it around that. And it certainly seems like Waldron's not doing
that. You know
what
the other massive difference here is, though? When Tom Brady was a rookie and came in there to New England, he was dealing with Bill Belichick, Charlie Weiss, and Brian Daboll as an assistant. Caleb is not set up to accomplish that mastery like Tom was so early.
Well, but
so if you want to talk about development, they're not putting the pieces there for him to develop.
Well, here's the thing though, Shane, and just go back and look it up statistically. Those first Super Bowls that Tom Brady won,
he didn't throw that much.
He was a caretaker. He was just the guy that they asked to not make mistakes.
That's what I thought they were going to ask Caleb to do. That they were going to use their defense and try to run the ball, which they did well last year, and only ask Caleb to do so much. And that's not what they've ended up asking him to do. I made that comp all the time in the offseason and in the lead up. Like, you know, look, Russell Wilson's numbers for the Seahawks early, Big Ben's numbers for the Steelers in the first couple years before he became a gunslinger.
But to Shane's point, as Tom is showing them, I've got this part of it now. Mm-hmm. I am comfortable with this part of it now. I can master this part of it now. Those coaches were like, okay, now we're gonna give you more responsibility. Now that you've been around the league a little bit, you've seen playoff football, you've seen it. Like, now you can add it to your own intelligence and break some stuff down. Mm-hmm. And then you take that next step. And the maniacal, and I say that with love, the maniacal way that Brady then went about making himself better physically and mentally, that part, you have to kind of be a little bit of a, sociopath when it comes to playing this position well.
And that's why the Menendez brothers were such good quarterbacks.
They were great.
That's why they were so good.
I get what you're saying, but I guess what I'm saying is that I would trust this regime to pull it back on Caleb and do what Cliff Kingsbury is doing with Jaden Daniels and simplify things. I trust them to implement that kind of offense. I don't trust them to watch tape with him later, like I would trust Charlie Weiss to watch tape with Tom Brady. I don't trust 100%. Shane Waldron to sit down with Caleb and say, damn, dude, this is what you missed. Because I don't even know if Shane Waldron knows that he's missing it. But I would trust Charlie Weiss. I would trust Cliff Kingsbury.
Shane on Shane crime. I was not necessarily expecting that. There's so few of you out
there.
He's
bad for the name.
Well, let's go back to that point, because I also think that's a good point. And I think that we sometimes are like damning with faint praise when we talk about like simplifying offenses. The thing that I like what Kingsbury is doing is I am going to make this friendly to Jaden Daniels with stuff that he's already done. And it's not reinventing the wheel. And then you add stuff. And it makes me like, if you're a Bears fan and you're looking at the Jaden Daniels thing and you're going, that should be our guy. Our guy should be doing that. And that should be the coach that he's doing it with. I think you have a legitimate gripe to be angry about that when you see the difference in the two guys. I still think that Caleb's ceiling for this is probably higher than Jaden, and I'm a huge Jaden guy. But the fact that Jaden has gotten off to a good start and maybe hasn't developed bad habits the way that Caleb is starting to might allow that to equalize the two guys when they were coming out of college.
Well, there'll be time to amplify that discussion, and that's going to be an interesting one, and one I think we're going to get to follow for a while. He's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Spiegel and Holmes. You know, every year around this time, the extortionist himself emerges with fresh copy from his writer's room of sitcom castoffs, and he talks, and we laugh. Or groan. We'll do it together to wrap up Spiegel and Holmes next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Scott Boros.
Is this your favorite time of year?
You know, the hot stove gets going in earnest. I could do hours on the baseball hot stove right now. It's super fun.
Speegs, I don't mean hot stove. That's not what I'm asking.
You mean when the super agent Scott Boras literally brings his own soap box to the GM meetings with an assistant who sets it up in the lobby of the hotel, and yes, then he gets up and delivers puns and uses people like our own Bruce Levine as his straight man? Yes, I do love this time of year, Lawrence.
Juan Soto is, or Centurion as I call him, that I don't want to walk around my city and have my last name changed, because I understand my last name is now Winner or Loser. He's provided the Astros with that infusion of championship blood, and I'd say everything about him is AB positive.
No one else, no other agent has a podium like yours. So.
Well, the thing of it is, Bruce, the purpose of this is my relationship with you is that all year long, I am sitting there in my little seat, and you look down on me. This is my one opportunity to be able to look down on you. So essentially, he continues to be a Corbin copy of his previous seasons, you know, no doubt. You know, we hear a lot about the bear market for power hitting first baseman, and I mean, for Pete's sake, it's the polar opposite. Magic of a championship run.
Do you expect the...
Behind every great magician, obviously, is the magic wand.
Try not to step in anymore.
You do an amazing job, Bruce, of consistently year after year stepping on my...
We all like to be consistent.
The magic wand.
Who's your favorite straight man of all time in comedy?
I'd have to say Bud Abbott. Bud Abbott to Lou Costello.
That's pretty good.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, actually, you know what? I'll give you another one. Carl Reiner to Mel Brooks.
Ooh.
Carl Reiner is the best. And there's a Mel Brooks's book, All About Me, is brilliant. And his chapter about Carl Reiner is so loving and so cool and really details what a great straight man does. So that's my answer.
So that's Bruce. Like, now, and look, I had a similar thing happen to me over the last couple of years where I was doing, you know, the shows right before Bulls games at the United Center. You know, Casey, I crosstalked with you guys from the UC. And Greg Popovich and Sam Smith do the same type of thing.
Really?
It's not, you know, Pop doing puns, but they clear, like, we just kind of all lay out.
Curmudgeonly love and relationship, they got a thing.
And they'll go 5-6 minutes of just busting each other's balls.
That's awesome. That's good fun. Tanny's the one who really loves the Scott Boras Day.
I love it.
That's his. I mean, I'm glad
it's
you do.
Terrible.
And yet you love it.
Yeah. Thank it's
you,
all right.
Thank you to our guests, by the way. Mark Grody was great. Pat Manley was great. And that's it. That's all we need. Just those two guests.
And a great job by Robbie Triano to sit in for Tanny. Great job by Shane. Great job by you, Matt Spiegel.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Great job
for
by you,
all Lawrence. Of those guys, I am Lawrence Holmes. And one more show for me out here, and then we all get back together again in Vegas. Thanks for all the love and support that you show us. We appreciate it, and we will try to repay it in kind tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.